your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 PFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Good afternoon, David.
We'll give you a fighting chance by tuning your fader up. David, how's it going?
Very good, thank you.
What's... Now, we turn our eyes to the skies for this Stardome Spaced Out segment, and you let us know what's going on in the cosmos.
Last time I promised to talk about lasers. You mentioned lasers.
John's pretty excited about this.
I know a story about lasers.
It's good. This is good.
This is about really powerful lasers.
Mm. Are we talking about the Shanghai Super Intense Ultra Fast Laser Facility?
Dave, BFM doesn't muck around with...
background research homework.
we don't... Here at BFM, we don't muck around with low-power lasers, David.
So is the one you're talking about 500 times the power of all the world's electrical grids combined?
In this article, I don't know, maybe they've taken a bit of poetic license to the story, but it says 1,000 times the power of all the world's electrical grids combined.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know.
So that's twice what I've got here.
Okay, we'll go with your one.
I feel like once you're up there in that amount, we can just say it's a shitload, can't we?
It really is.
Yeah.
It absolutely is. You're right. But they have one on the drawing board that is about 20 times that power. Okay, and that one, they'll build something. So they'll get up there. But it's at that power. Mm-hmm. It's so powerful, it can rip electrons and positrons, antimatter and so on, right out of empty space.
Sorry, what?
Why do they... what is the point of making a laser this powerful?
Can it cut through like a big safe door? Is it like that kind of laser at all?
No, it's not. It's absolutely not like that. The reason it can be so powerful is that the burst of light is extremely short.
Right.
Okay, if you have 500 or 1,000 times the power of all the world's power at any time, you can't just keep on supplying that, otherwise the world would have no power, right?
Mm.
So what they do is store it up and they let it go in a very short burst, and I mean short, 1/1,000,000,000th of a second.
Oh.
Okay, so the actual laser pulse is 1/1,000,000,000th of a second. So you can have all that power because it's so concentrated, it's so short.
And why do I want this for space purposes? How does it fit into space?
It's not just space. I mean, it can be used for other things in medicine and so on. I'm talking about space, so...
Is it a distance measure or something kind of thing? Or?
Well, I mean, Einstein showed that energy and mass are equivalent. That's E equals mc squared. So basically, if you have a lot of energy in empty space, there has to be mass, and then that's where a particle suddenly appears out of empty space because of all the energy you've put at that point of space at that time.
Right.
So you've got a huge amount of energy in that tiny bit of space, and matter just suddenly appears. It doesn't last long. It's only a very short burst of light, but that's what will happen. So they also have plans to go a bit further, adding a booster beam, and then also to focus it sharper. And that one, if they do that one, will be 10 trillion times more intense than the sunlight hitting the Earth.
Man. Is it possible to use this laser for evil purposes?
No, because the pulse of light is so short.
Would you say that the laser will be stronger than the eyes from that guy in X-Men, Cyclops?
I don't follow the
those guys,
I'm afraid. So.
That's all right.
Yeah, sorry.
I'll stop with these laser references now.
It's crazy. It is absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
But I tell you another strange story that you've suggested we have a conversation about is SpaceX and the Tesla Roadster being fired into space.
The car went up and the little spaceman and the spacesuit's in there. There's a lot of talk about that. It turns out that the spacesuit that the mannequin's wearing is a real spacesuit that SpaceX have developed, and Elon Musk says, if someone hopped in it and went into a vacuum, they'd be perfectly safe.
Cool.
That's not to say they could actually go in a space walk, because you need oxygen and CO2 scrubbers and all the rest of it.
Mm.
But it turns out that they actually had something else aboard, and that is a little disc which they call an ARC. ARC is about A-R-C-H, so it's ARC as an archive.
I thought you were going to tell me that the Tesla had a mini-disc player in it for a second. I was like...
Well, it almost is. It's about an inch in diameter. It's a quartz disc, and it's produced by an organization that has the aim to basically provide or record or hold everything about humanity in a safe place. And the only place they think is safe is not on the Earth.
Inside this Tesla car cruising around.
Is it actually a good idea to put this information about humanity out into space?
That's risky. Well,
it's not going to another star, so it's not going to aliens as far as we know. There are no aliens in the solar system, so that car's just orbiting the sun.
Right.
But it's away from the Earth, so if we blow ourselves up with nuclear war, or some other catastrophe, an asteroid hits the Earth, you've got this archive of material.
Is it absolutely everything so far?
This is just the first step. So the idea is to have a whole bunch of them in different places. You can have a library on the moon, a library on Mars, a library orbiting.
All in different Tesla-type cars?
No, this is just the first one. So this is not Elon Musk's project. It's another guy called Nova Spivak, I think his name is.
Feels like about time I asked another stupid question, David. Do we know if the keys are in the car at all?
I'm sure they were at one stage. These discs are pretty amazing, though. It's like a miniature CD, which has grooves that a laser light can reach by affecting a bump or no bumps. So that's ones or zeros. But this one works in five dimensions, which sounds really weird. But basically, you've got the angle of the light, you've got the strength of the light, and you've got the location of the dots that the information's contained in three dimensions. So that gives five dimensions in all, which means it's extremely compact. So on this one-inch piece of quartz, it carries 360 terabytes of data.
Oh, wow. David, do you think we'll get to the point where we actually do blow everything up on Earth, and then there is someone...
We have to reverse engineer to try and figure out how the disk works, to figure out how to say hi to one another.
Someone's travelling around space trying to find all these precious pieces of information about humanity.
Catch the Tesla.
Well, I mean, hopefully we've got the opportunity to, if we see the doomsday arriving, like nuclear war, we send people up there to... retrieve the information, and they already know how to retrieve it.
They'll need a driver's license at least.
If it's an asteroid going to hit the Earth again, you could already plan ahead. But as I said, this one was put aboard the Roadster because the Roadster was going up there. But the organisation that's actually making these and has this whole idea of an archive is not Tesla, it's not Elon Musk, it's separate.
Yes.
And so they will, if another... rocket goes up, if Rocket Lab sends a rocket up, they may well put one on those.
Okay.
So that they're not contracted to any particular group or rocket or...
They're not tied down.
Of course. Yeah. Now, the next article you've mentioned is the Humanity Star.
Humanity Star, the glyph ball that Rocket Lab put up. Peter Beck said, I'll be the brightest thing in the night sky and so on. Well, It might be, but what I can say is that the predictions that I've found are far from that. It is visible at the moment. If you go to a website called Heavens Above and you look for Humanity Star, you'll see the visible passes from Auckland. Like tonight, we can see it if the sky is clear, but it's only 24 degrees above the horizon in the south-southeast direction, and it's up for about 2 minutes.
Can you see it with the telescope that you've got there at the Stardome?
No, because these are moving pretty fast. So the better thing would be probably powerful binoculars on a tripod where you can slew through the sky a bit more quickly.
Keep it steady.
Maybe if I get a moment. At the moment, I'm just looking at the Harbour Bridge. So if I get a moment, I'll sort of gaze a bit further. But I like those lights on the Harbour Bridge.
This is fairly faint. You can't see it with the naked eye. It's too faint for naked eye.
Okay.
Will it get brighter as it changes its position in the sky?
John, let it go, mate.
Well, I've been looking ahead down the predictions, and no. So unless the Heavens Above people have got it wrong, It looks like it's not going to be visible to the naked eye, but as I said, I haven't had any reports from anyone who's seen it at all.
Right.
So until some people probably down the South Island would be better positioned to see it.
Yeah.
Have seen it and they say, oh yeah, it really is that faint, or no, it's brighter.
Okay.
We'll have a better gauge on what to expect.
Now, is there anything else happening in the current night sky?
Most of it's in the morning. If you're looking for planets, the morning sky is where you need to be to see Mars and Jupiter. In the evening sky, Venus will be coming up, but it's not really high enough to see yet. Mauta Riki is getting low after sunset in the northwest. We've got another month or so before it disappears in mid-April.
Cool. Now what's on the cards at the Stardome?
Well, tomorrow night is Valentine's Day night. We've got five shows, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 p.m. But I have to say at this stage, as far as I'm aware, 7, 8 and 9 are sold out.
Okay.
That leaves 6 p.m. and 10 p.m. shows with seats still available. So really need to get onto that. You can book online at stardome.org.nz or you can phone up and book at reception.
Nice. And another note here, planetarium upgrade. What is this?
Well, the planetarium, we're directly after Valentine's night on Thursday. The existing projector system and behind the scenes gibbons that are going to be taken out and replaced with a laser system. So
John, you just said a trigger word. So John's just said, what?
Yeah,
laser?
Yeah, this
what?
Is, this is not a trillion watt, whatever. but it will be sharper than what we have already.
Yes.
And more efficient and less power hungry and more reliable, we think.
Used for the powers of good as well.
so there will be no planetarium shows from the 17th through to the 23rd of February. So the Stardome itself will be closed this coming weekend entirely. But the Space Gallery will be available from next Monday. But this coming weekend, the Stardome will be closed completely.
Okay.
But all the details are up on the website. The Zeiss telescope will also be out of reach. It's going to also receive an upgrade. It's been there for 51 years nearly. With a manual system, and it's being upgraded to a digitally controlled system, so you can just basically tell the computer and the computer moves the telescope where you want to look at something.
Fair enough.
Automation.
Listen, David, we just got a text in. I might as well put it to you. You can answer it as quick as you possibly can. Hi, would you please ask David, if you travel towards a distant star or even a galaxy at the speed of light, would you see it get older the closer you got?
No, we get younger because you're closer and you're seeing the light
cool.
earlier.
Perfect.
The light didn't take so long to get to you.
Thanks, David.
But then time's going to slow down, stop for you, so you're not going to actually see anything.
There's a few variables at play.
Wait, what do you mean? Isn't it just cut and dry?
If you're travelling at the speed of light, the time stops.
It's dark as well.
Time
no, light just travels with you.
Yeah, I know, sorry, it was a crappy joke. I should stay in my lane, really. David Britton of the Stardome Observatory, thank you kindly for joining us fortnightly. It's always a pleasure.
Look forward to next time.
Cheers,
okay.
mate.
See ya.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.